We have an SOS announcement, meaning saving our seats. If anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, let's make saving our seats a spiritual foundation too. If you arrive early, please just save a seat for yourself and one other. Exceptions would be a seat saved due to a service commitment. If anyone sits in your usual seat before you get there, be kind and let it go. First come, first seat. 5 minutes before the meeting begins, any safe seat not occupied should be relinquished. Thank you. My name is Lisa, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everybody. This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons, Michael C., thank you, Michael, and Sue. Sue is right here, thank you, have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and or understanding. Michael will read the preamble.
Hi. Thank you. I'm Michael, I'm an alcoholic. AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety.
Please join in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Michelle will read the steps.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm an alcoholic. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
We have asked Sandy to please read the traditions.
I'm Sandy, I'm an alcoholic. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6. An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Adam.
Hi, my name is Adam, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm also a very nervous alcoholic. So, my sobriety date is June 13th, 2006. My home group is the Atlantic Group, and I am working step 4, and my sponsor's name is Stephanie. I would like to thank Mark for the privilege of speaking at this meeting. It's an honor to speak at my home group. First of all, I want to extend a warm welcome to the newcomer, because I am one, and I really, you know, I'm coming up on my 5 months, and I really know what it feels like to sit there on your, you know, I remember my first meeting, and I really want to urge you that when during the information meet break, when they ask you to share your day count, if you're 1 to 90 days, please put your hand up, because that's how we know who you are, and that's how you can get help. Even, you know, ask for my number at the end of the meeting. I need your call. The reason why I've stayed sober this amount of time is because I've stayed connected. So I'm going to go a little bit into what it was like for me. I grew up in Providence. I actually grew up in a suburb of Providence. It was very cookie-cutter neighborhood, you know, very well-manicured lawns. Everyone had 2.5 children. It was just pretty. And everything was pretty on the outside. In my life, everything was going really, really well till I was about 7. 7 years old, my parents got divorced, and they got joint custody of me, and I was living with my mother half the time, and my mother was an alcoholic. And you know, her disease really progressed when my parents split, and I had to learn what alcoholism was really early, because I had to know why I couldn't call 911 every time my mother passed out on the kitchen floor because I thought she was dying. Later on, other family and I got my family to get into rehab, got my mother into rehab, and I was thankful for that, but she kept relapsing, and I swore off drinking. I thought it was evil, I hated alcoholism, and I hated alcohol. But as you know, as an alcoholic, that doesn't mean much. It doesn't hold much weight, because I'm an alcoholic, and I found my first drink. And at 13 years old, how do you get alcohol? Well, I kind of had to manipulate my way to getting that, because I was so young, and I dangled my mother's relapse over her face to get her to buy a 6-pack of Zima for me. You know, something different was the catch line. I thought I was something different. You know, I thought I was different from my mother. I needed the alcohol, and when I had that first drink, I felt everything melt away, my fears. I was such an hyperactive, anxious child, and I really needed that drink. And by 15, I started to befriend people with fake IDs because I needed alcohol. I needed it that badly, and I was getting to the point where I was suicidal, and I had seen doctors. They put me on prescriptions. It didn't work. The alcohol did. The alcohol took away all my fears, and it kind of made me like a superhero. If I had a drink in my hand, I felt so powerful. And I wasn't on the inside, but I kept going like that until I got, I'm going to let you know about my first drunk. My first drunk, I manipulated somebody into buying me a liter of Southern Comfort. It was sweet. I could mix it with lemonade. It tasted great going down. So I got drunk. I got wasted with friends, and I was about 15, and I just wanted to shout out this newfound freedom to the rest of the world, and I did. I ran through the neighborhood screaming and yelling, and the cop showed up at my door. The cop showed up at my door. I puked in front of him. I swore off Southern Comfort, not drinking. I didn't think the next morning that I wasn't going to drink ever because I liked it that much. Meanwhile, my mother got put on home confinement for DUIs. She was followed home after a bar one night, and she was beaten and raped and hospitalized. I saw everything that drinking did to my mother, and I still needed to drink. I ended up, in my senior year, when I was about 17 or 18 years old, I ended up taking thermoses into high school, keeping them in the locker and drinking all throughout school. Then I needed to go to a college because I needed to get away from home and out of the eyesight of my parents. Or my father, more like it. Basically, my disease just progressed. I was a blackout drinker. I blacked out every night. I woke up, I wouldn't know where I was so often. And it was getting sad. And my mother, when I was 19, died of alcoholism. She suffered a head trauma, and she bled internally. And I had to take her off life support after 24 hours. But I still drank. Then it just progressed, and I want to get to my recovery. So what happened to me before I came in here was I was hit by a cab in the middle of a blackout. I don't remember anything up until the point that I was hit by the cab, and I knew that it was either my father's going to bury me after my mother, soon after my mother, or else I need to find the solution. So I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I sat in my first meeting with a friend, and I heard the message. I heard the feelings. I got it, and I knew what I needed to do. And I needed to go have a drink. So I went, and this was my first meeting. I sat in the back. I was walking out the door, and I got stopped by somebody by the piano. It was such a blur, and he looked into my eyes. And his name is Chris H. And he's sitting here today. I'm very happy to have him here. He ended up becoming my first sponsor. But, you know, I was on my way out to have a drink, and he looked into my eyes, and he knew everything. He just told me that my life didn't have to be this way anymore. And I believed him, and since that point, it's just changed. I learned that I have an allergy, that, you know, this is a threefold disease. There is a spiritual sickness. There is there's the physical. There's the mental, and then there is the mental obsession, and there's the spiritual malady. And I know that I cannot safely have a drink. What do I do to stay sober is I have a sponsor. I call my sponsor every day. I know that the first step of my sobriety is just putting the drink down. Me, I'm the type of alcoholic left without a drink. It's a mess. I need tools, and I need to do things that will keep me sober, and everything goes against my natural instincts. I have now come to believe in a higher power, and the way that I found that is through I I just know that I'm one of many now, and I don't have, the world doesn't revolve around me anymore. And it's amazing because now I can get down on my knees and I can say my third step prayer, and I can really give my will over to a power that is going to see me through all of the pain and all of the decisions that I have to make, because I can't safely make decisions for myself. I made my own decisions and I ended up here. So I'm going to quickly tell a story with something that happened to me in my sobriety. Like I said, I go against every natural instinct that I have. And about a month ago, I went pumpkin picking and apple picking with my home group, the Atlantic group. And I woke up at 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday. Completely. That's not my natural instincts. And we're driving up there, and I'm looking at the scenery, and I'm looking at the foliage and the colors, and everything looks so beautiful. And I had a flashback to a year ago while I was still active. And I had gone up to Ithaca on a road trip with a friend, and I was looking at all the foliage. It was around the same time. And I was trying to look at the colors, and I couldn't see the colors anymore. I was so vacant. I was just a shell. And, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has just given me new skin to live in, and it's given me new eyes to see the world with. And I thank God, and I thank you all.
Our next 10-minute speaker is Sue.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Sue, and I'm an alcoholic. First of all, I want to thank Amanda. I don't know where she is, for asking me to speak. Oh, hello. Oh, thank you. And secondly, I want to thank my sponsor, Melissa H., who is sitting back there. And thirdly, I want to thank Peggy and Van for founding the Atlantic Group, which happens to be my home group. And really, I want to thank you for basing it on the message of hope and that there's always a solution. You know, there's a lot of meetings out there that are not solution-based. And the reason that I come to meetings, and I think probably the reason that most of us do, is to find that hope within each one of us and to, you know, stay in the solution and find out, you know, especially if you're a beginner, you know, how the heck did these people, like, get 1 day, 2 days, a year, 2 years, 3 years? All I can speak on is how I do that. So that's what I'm going to do this evening. Let me see a little bit about myself. I grew up in the Midwest, started drinking when I was 13, drank for the next 30 years, and here I am. It was really good in the beginning. In the middle, it wasn't so bad, and at the end, it was really, really bad. The consequences just kept piling up. I kept going deeper into denial. You know, thank goodness I was never hospitalized, institutionalized. I was arrested, never had a record. My lawyer was very good. But, you know, and actually, you know, one of my service commitments, I can't remember when I went, but I went with Vince out to Rikers Island maybe a year ago or so. And I tell you, leaving Rikers Island kept me sober for a while. Because, you know, no, honestly, I mean, because in the flash, I'm a blackout drinker. I could have done anything and probably did when I was in a blackout, and I just don't remember. Thankfully, most of it. But you know what? I could have ended up there because these weren't hardened female criminals. They were, you know, people who sold drugs, people who did drugs, people who ended up with people in a bad situation when they had no reason being there. That's me. You know, so I am very thankful that I was on the receiving side of the open doors and not on the receiving side of the locked ones. So, you know, what happened? Oh, you know, what didn't happen? I woke up, I was, all of a sudden, I was in the middle of my life. I was 43 years old and still doing the same stuff that I was doing when I was 13. And I woke up one day and I said, you know what? You know, here I am at this crossroads, you know, literally the middle of my life, most likely. And was it going to be like it was all the way back there? Or was I going to do something different with it? And I decided that I was going to do something different. I didn't know what it was. If you would have told me it was AA on that day, I would have said, you are nuts. I thought maybe it was another self-help program. Maybe it was, you know, veganism, raw yoga, something. But if you would have told me it was AA, maybe it would be another A program. But AA, absolutely not. Well, I gave up everything else, but the one thing that I held on to for a little bit longer was my alcohol. It was the first thing I picked up at 13, and it was the last thing I put down at 43. And it took me a while to, you know, in these rooms to figure out that that made me an alcoholic. And as soon as I realized I was an alcoholic, I was immediately into step one, and I was reviewing my life. What was unmanageable about it? Well, I had a job, but I didn't open my mail. You know, I looked pretty good on the outside, but on the inside, I was a mess. I was depressed. I had this hole that I just couldn't fill up anymore with anything. I couldn't fill it up with the person that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with. I couldn't fill it up with alcohol. I couldn't fill it up with anything. So my cousin, who is also in the program and has, I think she has 7 or 8 years now, invited me and said, you know what, why don't you just come to a meeting, just check it out, you know, see how it fits. If it doesn't fit, that, you know, don't, you can always drink again, but you know, you might, you know, see something. I'm like, okay, fine. So I started coming to, actually, to Bagels and Big Book on Sundays was my first meeting. And then I came to the Tuesday night meeting and I sat over there and I didn't raise my hand, but I sat and I listened. Now, and I was still drinking. I was controlling my drinking. I was only drinking 2 times a month, every other Saturday, Friday and Saturday. But every, you know, when the 14 days in between, boy, I was planning it. I wanted to, you know, I was just envisioning that first martini. Who was I going to have it with? Where was it going to be? You know, and then, you know, being an alcoholic, I never could kind of plan after that because I never knew what was going to happen after I had that first drink. I could have one more. I could have 10 more. Thank you. I had no idea, but, you know, boy, planning that first one was all-consuming. So I tried doing that for a couple of more months, and I don't know if any of you have tried that method of going to meetings and drinking at the same time. Well, not at the same time, but, you know, the next day or the next, you know, the following day. I was really angry with Alcoholics Anonymous at that point because it ruined my drinking even further. I couldn't enjoy even that first sip. You know, that first sip that was usually, for me anyway, kind of soothing. And I couldn't even enjoy that. So I thought, okay, fine. I'll try this thing. I'll try not drinking. So then I was like, okay, I'm an alcoholic. Now what? I had no idea. I didn't know. You know, how do you live as an alcoholic without drinking? You know, how do you do that? Well, the first thing that I did was, at the suggestion of my cousin again, told me to get a sponsor. So I got a sponsor. And a sponsor is someone who takes you through the big book. You can have friends and you can have, you know, other groups, but your sponsor is someone who takes you through page by page the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's what my sponsor did. What else? You know, I got a service commitment because my sponsor told me to. I read Living Sober. If you haven't picked up a packet, a beginner's packet of literature, please do yourself a favor and do that. That sort of gave me, you know, if I don't do this, you know, then you can do this. It gave me options. It gave me, like, real, kind of tangible things that I could use in my life. Because, you know, face it, we live in New York, and I live in work in an industry where, you know, on occasion, I need to be around alcohol. I need to be around people who are drinking. And how in the early days, and even, you know, when you have a few years, how do you handle that? You know, again, and, you know, in Living Sober, it told me how to do that. And, of course, you know, always asking my sponsor, too. Let me see. What else did I do? service commitment, went to meetings. I went to a lot of meetings. I went more, you know, certainly more than two a week that I was going to. I go to probably now six or seven a week, you know, a couple on Monday, you know. I'm very fortunate to have found a 12:30 meeting, which is perfect for me. To get that meeting right in the middle of the day has been a godsend for me. Let me see what else. Telephone numbers. Get telephone numbers. Because if you can't get your sponsor and you are feeling, you know, that kind of edgy, itchy, squirmy feeling, and you got to talk to somebody, get numbers. They really, you need to. I'm a huge football fan, so I'm going to use a football analogy. You know, you're the quarterback of your life, and you drop back in the pocket, and you're like, look down the field, whether you're going to pass it or run it. But if you don't have that offensive line, you're going to be creamed before you know it. And that offensive line is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's those people that you're going to call. It's your sponsor. It's your service commitment. It's your meetings. Thank you. And if you don't have, if for me, if I don't have that first line of offense, the defense is going to cream me. So again, thank you, Amanda, for asking me to speak. I hope somebody can relate to the football analogy. And if you're a beginner, you know, some people say, you know, keep coming back. I don't say keep coming back. I say stay, because if you stay, the program. I promise you, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous will keep you sober. And you know what? The good news is, you don't ever have to drink again. You don't ever have to drink again. And that's the message that I hope you hear loudly and clearly. Thank you.
Our main speaker tonight is Norberto.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Norberto. And Vince, wherever you are, thank you for asking me. I enjoy AA. I really love AA. I really do. I talk to myself all day, so it's good to talk to other people once in a while. And what can you do to me? You don't like what I have to say? It's fine, too. And it's interesting. I never like to do like the referring thing. It's better? All right. It's his fault. Where are you? Go yell at him. Anyway, so I just don't like to do the Oscar type of thing, but to me, this group has been... I spoke here many times, and the people who have more time, they heard me. And you know what? It's okay if you don't like me. And if you're new and you're going to like me, it's great. If you're not going to like me, it's okay too. But for many years, all the time I was speaking here, there was Van. And Van was a good friend, and Van was... He loved AA, and I don't like to remember. Probably you never, some of the new ones, they never had the fortune to know him, but the continuity of AA is in those people and their message and what they've done for us. And Van, I love him in particular because he got sober before me, 11 years before me on October 24th. So for many years, when he didn't do the spin-off and co-create this group, it was a member of my home group, which is the Templeton group here in New York, which I got news for you, is the best meeting in New York. It's a piece of cake. I mean, it's true, like, you should try it. It's Wednesday, 6:15, 55th and 2nd, and maybe you come, you don't like it, and it's okay, too. And... Everybody in AA believes in what they believe in, and I was impressed by the score of people who were counting days today. I mean, congratulations, it's great you're here. You're very lucky because you're going to stay sober for the rest of your life because you hear me tonight. Kidding aside, to be honest with you, if you are done drinking, you can have a monkey up here, and you're going to stay sober. If you're not done, if you drank the way I did for the reason I did, you can have Bill W. coming back here, and you're not going to quit. AA, it's a great place because everybody's clapping hands, everybody's counting days, but I mean, look how interesting it is. I mean, incredible number of people counting days, then they celebrate the anniversary, like 733 people with 1 year, 50 with two, and then 110, 114, whatever, 140, those are like Star Wars. But the point is that, why? In theory, we should have pretty much the same. Instead, unfortunately, it's not about that. Because people, you know, they come in AA propelled by their disease, and then they forget. So the fact that I'm here tonight is like, it's going to be completely meaningless for you who wants to stay sober. But the fact that you came here is very meaningful. Because for me, going to a meeting is like the most spiritual thing I can do in any given day. And I'm not fighting a drink. I'm not waking up in the morning thinking of it. I don't have to say yes to my sponsor who tells me to go picking up apples at 6 a.m. because I'm not going to do it. But the point is that... and you don't have to do that to stay sober. I mean, he's great. I mean, I'm very impressed. My guy doesn't dare to call me at 6 a.m. But the point is that the truth of the matter is that AA is like it's a magical formula where the main ingredient is my willingness. Here there are like 12 suggested steps, are very beautiful, yada, yada, yada. But I truly believe that the real thing that heals me is compliance. Compliance, it's an interesting thing because compliance means that whenever my sponsor encouraged me to do something, I don't fight him. Because he's offering me the finest gift that I can have after the pain of active addiction, which is the capacity to surrender without having to hit bottom in every single aspect of my life. Eventually, you know, coming here, if you don't drink for a number of days, years, and something magic happens within, and it's like going to the gym. If you go to the gym every day, at the end you feel strong and fit. And if you keep doing spiritual things when you walk in the darkness, when you're scared, when you're depressed, but you keep showing up, you keep taking phone calls, you keep making coffee, whatever, magic happens in this room. And that's why I'm in love with Alcoholics Anonymous, is because it's the only place where I was able to be provided with daily magic, which instead of being sustained by literature, was sustained by human beings, you know, because it's very great. This is a great book. I read it. I've done my homework. I'm a good boy. You can test me. But I got news for you. Bill W. had no big book to read. He didn't read the big book when he got sober. He was propelled by the true force that is here, which is I truly believe in this divine force. And I'm not here to scare newcomers. Everybody's going to find their own peace of mind. If they want to believe in a higher power, fine. If you don't, it's okay too. But the point is that I'm here tonight, and you are here too, because this guy one day has been propelled by this universe to make a phone call and look for another alcoholic instead of going to a bar and pick up a drink. Bizarre. If he made it right, went to the bar, I wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't be here either. He would be dead for probably 71 years. And we'd be running around in the street in despair, with terror and fear. And so what happened? The guy picked up the phone. The magical series of coincidences that I don't believe in, but I truly believe in, the force, the power of attraction of the universe, who really wanted us finally to stop hurting and feeling terrible about ourselves and our destiny, let him meet Dr. Bob, and the rest is history. To a certain extent, it's very interesting too, though, because the guy quit drinking. He helped another alcoholic. Eventually, Dr. Bob got sober, but he wanted to drink. After 6 months, he was sober. So if Bill W., who had a white light experience, wanted to drink, imagine a guy like me. And I got no Bill W. story behind. I have my story. But the truth of the matter is that the magic of AA is that the people who taught me AA showed me that the only way that Bill W. said sober was to trying to be of service, to help another. And for me, the magic of AA, it's all about that, because, you know, the most important piece of literature to me is the preamble. When they read the preamble, it's like, it's like when you go to, you like baseball? Yeah, you're a bunch of Americans. You like baseball. You go, they say the national anthem, and then boom, let's play ball. People are there to watch the game. You go to Alcoholics Anonymous, say, hey, what is our let's play the game? The primary purpose, to stay sober and help another alcoholic to achieve sobriety. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what kind of blessing it is for a person like me who had a life with aimless, morbid attention to myself, to the others, to my desire to be useful, to have an opportunity just to, I can do something with my life. And it happened to me not so nicely. I mean, I have to speak like 85 minutes, so let me tell you a little bit more about my story. I started drinking across the big sea. I started drinking in Italy, and it is interesting because my background is not really a true drinking background. My family comes from Poland. We're Jewish. And so in my family, probably there are good cases of overeating, I guess. But the problem that happened in my family is that we survived the German Holocaust. So practically half of my family was wiped out as a result of that. So we were left. I was not born yet. I'm old, but not that old. But after the war, my parents survived the Holocaust there. They moved to Italy, and they started to build a life again for themselves. And Italy is a great country. It's really beautiful. There is, in Italy, the family is set up like the Jewish family. Like there is the man who screams, the wife runs the family anyway, and the kids stay home till they are 40 or something. So we're all the same. But and in Italy there is like a fantastic capacity to accept Jews also. I mean, there is not really anti-Semitism. In Italy, there are like 35,000 Jews, which is like a block in New York City or something. So we don't bother anyone. But the point is that I met AA my way as a kid. And not to quote our literature, but there is this thing called anxious apartness discussed on the fifth step. And that was the core of my being. I never felt I belonged. I always felt like I was a Polak between Italians, I was a Jew between Catholics, and there were a bunch of Jews, but they were Italian Jews. I could not win. I could not win. I didn't like myself. Possibly I hated myself. And I desperately wanted to join the world, whatever that means. And so for me, drinking has been a natural process because drinking offered me great opportunities, I must say, because it showed me that I can connect. So I got addicted to alcohol for right reasons, because if you think the way I do and you feel the way I do, you better find something to do with those type of mindsets. So I started drinking, and, you know, water is always its own level, and I ended up meeting all guys like me, all guys from good families and good kids, really scared kids. That other day I was at a friend's house, and I was helping the kids doing some homework on immigrants. Go figure, they asked me to help. And so the kids are like delightful, age 9. I don't have kids, but I have a dog of that age. I adore my dog. She's the finest dog in America. Her name is Linda, and Linda, she never saw me drunk, and she goes like to meetings to adult children, dogs of alcoholics. Anyway, she's delightful, but so this dog taught me a lot, probably more than a lot of romantic. Why am I talking about the dog? I'm talking about the dog because she's nine, like those kids. And those kids are delightful. Parents are sober, good kids. They were asking this question. These eyes are full of curiosity. Good, you see, they're good kids inside. And I was, you know, I was really impressed. I have a nephew and niece that I adore, but they're growing up. So I started to think, these guys are nine. At nine, I started smoking. I said, how could you do that? And what's the minimum thing I could do? I was always reaching out. Let me take from outside, let me put it in. Maybe I'll feel good like you do. So practically, by 13, I had abused alcohol many times. And by 22, I was saying something that I always remember. Because I had, of course, I abused drugs too. Nobody's born in 1953 and hasn't found drugs in around this path. If you're a self-destructive guy, you find anything. You eat it, and then you ask, what is it? Or you smoke it, or whatever. Now I do it with food. First I eat it, and then I ask. I mean, but the point is that it's not about that. The point is that at 22, I was looking down to my friends, the drug addicts, because I said, how can they be addicted to this stuff? You go so crazy, and whatever. I needed to calm down, and alcohol was responding to my interior needs. And I was saying I might become an alcoholic when I was an adult, and that was the big mistake. The big mistake was that I didn't realize I was an alcoholic then. And not even that, because, I mean, most of you, some of you maybe not, maybe you're here just checking us out, which is great too, but most of you know that you have a drinking problem, and to know it is not enough. Already, I'm done. Ah, no, 15, I'm sorry, I had to put my... Okay, so it's good, actually. If it's, the point is that, what was I saying? Yes, we know we are alcoholics. Why do we stop? In my case, you know, the most important part on the first step is like... the little life and in the middle, because it says, we admit that we are powerless over alcohol. Hyphen. Our life had become unmanageable. I didn't stop drinking until the hyphen hit me here. Hyphen means years of lost opportunity, of fear, of terror, of shame, of guilt, of suicidal attempts. That's hyphen. It's like hyphen, it's alcoholism. When you're tired of drinking and you don't know what to do next, then there is Alcoholics Anonymous. And probably there are other joint too. I'm pretty sure we're not the sole answer to alcoholism. But I'll tell you one thing. It's the only thing that worked for me. I'm a big victim. I grew up like a victim. I was always blaming others. I never took responsibility for myself. It was always a parent or some Hitler or someone who did something to me. And then was alcohol. And then was blaming, and never take full responsibility for my destiny. And one of the magic things that happened here is that everybody's kissing and hugging and clapping hands, but they love me enough to let me start to make decision where I am responsible for my destiny. Yeah, God... hopefully, it's going to keep me alive. But I promise you, if tonight I'm drinking, it's not God who's put some wings on a bowl of scotch. I'm not going to drink tonight. I'm no fortune teller, but I know I'm not. Why? A, because I don't want to. B, because there is so much that I would lose with that first drink. Not that I have this incredible life, because I love my life. But the point is not about that. It's like this investment for years of being part of something that is bigger than me. You know, Manny, I was a good-looking kid. I promise you, you can tell. Come on. I had tremendous amount of money. My father was very successful in business. He had everything I wanted, great education or whatever. I still remember at 17, 18, being maybe one Saturday night alone at home, and I was feeling so lonely. I was so... So practically, let me go back to my favorite topic. Thank you. It's not work, it is. So practically, a big victim like me, who doesn't want to take responsibility, eventually comes up to great ideas, and one of which was that Italy was like the reason why I was in trouble. So practically, if you think like that, you find yourself in New York City, you're exactly in the same position, man. Exactly in the same position, and the only thing you have to do it in English instead of in Italian. But and I mind. I mean, it's not about money. This program is not about these type of things. But I was not like your standard immigrant. I used to live exactly a block away when I arrived here on Park. My bank was a block away on the other side, and my office was two blocks away. So I had everything I wanted. I came. And I did my favorite thing. I destroyed myself so hard and so quick that I found myself, like at 31, I'm a degenerate gambler also, so I was in Wall Street, and I was trading, and I was very successful, and I started to manage my father's money, blah, 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 blah. And at 31, I could retire. At 34, I had to borrow $9,000 to go to rehab. So, hyphen... Very expensive, man. I was engaged to be married. She was terrific. She was really a beautiful girl, nice girl. And for some reason, she didn't want to build her life with me. That I wake up in the morning shaking. I tried to kill myself or whatever. And so she dumped me. My father, who was a very wealthy guy, until he found out he was not, because I blew all his cash, was not thrilled too. I was left in the darkness, man. And how much warm whiskey you can drink to get the money back, to get the family back, to get the girl back. If you told me how much, I would have done it, but there was not enough. And the miracle happened, like everything else since, in a different way. In a different way, because miracles, you know, sometimes I like the biblical proportion type of miracles. So boom, burning bushes and all this stuff. But those are big guys. People like me... My miracle was that I was shipped to a rehab, all right? I went to a rehab, and I went to the first AA meeting in that rehab. And I was so in despair that the driver of our bus, who was an AA member, stayed all meeting outside talking to me. And I was crying. The only thing I could do, I was crying. I didn't hear the message. I didn't hear nothing. But I heard the real voice of AA, which was a man willing to listen to me. And from that moment on, my life has been touched and changed forever. I'm guaranteed that I'll stay sober for the rest of my life? No. Do I know I most likely will? Yes. How so? Because I ended up eventually in meetings, and I ended up in an incredible place. It's called Des Moines, Iowa. I hope nobody's from there, but So I ended up 3 months in a long-term program in Iowa, and it was a disaster. But I never heard of Iowa. I didn't know it existed, Iowa. But I ended up in a meeting, and this AA was removed. This anxious apartness was removed by this embrace of people that completely, even though they were puzzled by the possibility that a human being can be at the same time a Jew and Italian, they didn't care. And they loved me, and they gave me opportunities, and they gave me the biggest one. Because if you think about it, I don't know your story. Most of you, I do know your story because I listen to you. But if you go, and if you're an alcoholic at 22, when you have family, health, money, everything else, imagine when you're 32, when you're 33, when you're 34, you don't know anymore what to do. And then the big truth of my life appeared, which was like, my mistake was not that I thought that alcohol was my problem. My big mistake most of my life is that I thought that alcohol was the solution of my problems. And when I hit bottom, I was left completely with the same set of problems, but I was left for the first time with the awareness that I could not go back to alcohol to fix it. Who was going to do it? And then, ta-ta, ta-ta, like John Wayne, you came. You gave me the new life that I was looking for. You gave me this revelation here. This is biblical proportion. You told me, Norberto, we drank you the way you did. We think the way you do. Why don't you do what we do to stay sober? And then you're embraced by great possibilities, because if one believes in the future is friendly. We stop drinking, most of us. Tremendous low self-esteem, complete lack of faith, complete fear in every single element of our life. Then we come here. I was a good puppy. For the first life in my time in my life, I was a good puppy. I came in AA. I started to follow directions. I complied. They told me, get a sponsor. I truly believe, I'm one of those who truly believe that AA is only based upon the belief that I put into it. So they told me, get a sponsor. I did. Have a home group, yes. Be of service, not even do service. What is doing? Be of service. Become a being who wants to be useful to others. And through that, it's the surrender that allowed me to just live a life that has been a decent life, a good life. And God knows how many things happened to me. And I tell you, AA is bizarre, because if you believe, I truly believe, I say it all the times, you have to believe that your home group is the best home group. Thank you. Believe it. If you don't believe your home group is the best home group, get another home group. If you don't believe your sponsor is the best sponsor, get another one. Get it. There are so many people willing to help. Don't say, hey, my sponsor, don't call you. The sponsor is not going to do nothing. It's a catalyst of my desire to get better, to be tired of living like a slave, to be free, to have strength, to have dignity, power. We are empowered here. We're not like sissies here. People like us. I was a crazy guy. I had incredible accidents. God has been so good to me. I had car crashes, motorcycles. I had, like, a year before I got sober, I had a parachuting accident. I was drunk all night. The morning I go flying and I landed through a fence. It was ridiculous. I broke my back. Like, disaster. I could have been paralyzed. And I was not. 3 weeks later, after that accident, I'm wearing a brace, something called Demerol, and Johnny Walker, and riding motorcycles, man. This is like suicidal, crazy stuff. I could not accept the fact that I have the right to have a good life. And as a result of it, you know, people, my sponsors are great sponsors, but here it's a bizarre place. Sometimes you hear people, especially with due respect, newcomers, said, "Ah, my sponsor saved my life." I said, "All right, who's your sponsor?" They said the name. You go like this because you wouldn't let them walk your dog. But you let the magic here. You let the magic, and you can be the catalyst of that magic. And then you're going to make the miracle. Here we become spiritual guides. You say, oh yeah, you have 1 year, you can be a sponsor. I was certified. I mean, I'm still very crazy, but you should imagine what it was like when I had 1 year. Some people here know me. And through sobriety, I went through life, through incredible opportunities that I also missed. Don't think that it's like Disneyland here. If you do crazy things, you're checking the clock. I'm good? Still good. You have tremendous opportunities if you choose to, A, not to drink, no matter what. I lost in the order. Not in the order. I don't even remember. I don't want to show. I lost a child that was a stillborn baby. One of the most painful things. My wife, ex-wife, and I went through. I lost her, which is okay. I lost my I lost my parents. I lost pets. I lost again in sobriety tons of money because I thought that a spiritual guy like me can go back and gamble his money in Wall Street. And guess what? If you don't drink and you're a gambler, you're going to go broke anyway. So, I mean, I haven't done a lot of things, but the truth of the matter is that in this place I found the great opportunity. I'm not even want to sound like La La Land here, but it's not even finding myself, but finding great great strength to give a meaning to my life. The primary purpose, it's a big thing to wake up in the morning and knowing that my job in life is to stay sober, help other people to achieve sobriety. And then we're like a ripple effect. 71 years ago, Mr. Bill W. meets Dr. Bob. Boom, small conversation. Look how many lives, how many opportunities. And do I want to stop that? It's ridiculously impossible. Thank you. I wish I could share with you a little bit of my love for this program. And I don't even believe that necessarily the program is going to be the answer of everything. But if you come in the program, the answer will come. It's going to be a beautiful thing. We had just the marathon here in New York, and it's a beautiful thing. You see all these people with a primary purpose doing the 26 miles. I went to a marathon many years ago with a sponsee. I didn't run the marathon, no. Too much work. I don't want to do that. I would like to win marathons, though, but practically, we were on the finish line. We were on the finish line, and was, I don't know if they still do it, but there was this announcer there who was just telling all the crowd to clap their hands, and she was screaming, "Let's bring them in. Let's bring them in. Pa, pa, pa." You see that? After 26 miles, and everybody's clapping their hands. AA is the same thing, man. If you drank the way we did, you must be tired. There's been a marathon here. And our job as sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous, the only thing we have to do, yeah, you can quote the book, sound good or whatever, keep clapping hands and let bring people in and let them show there is an opportunity and a great life to come. Thank you.